Well, good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder, and this is BRN AM for Thursday, April 23rd, 2020. And our top stories today, adapting lessons plans for the virtual classroom and distance learning best practices. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more is Abigail Titus. She's a middle school teacher with Pivot Charter School. Abigail, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. And I, you know, so much going on here with the pandemic, and we see businesses, Americans adapting to obviously a lot of change. One area where we see a tremendous amount of change is with school children. And I really want to unpack this with you because there has been a lot of change for these kids in terms of distance learning and now applying technology. I have to imagine as a school teacher, this is a big change.
It is a really big change for most students right now. And I happen to work at a school that is an online independent study school regularly. So we were pretty well equipped for this challenge. But for the general education population, this is unprecedented. And I know a lot of teachers and a lot of students and a lot of parents that are struggling with this kind of new world that we're facing.
Yeah, it's already tough to be a parent. You've got most parents in most families work, and they're also juggling parenting the kids and shepherding the different practices and events and theater, et cetera. And now they've got to do all that and step in to make sure that the children are learning and doing the things that they need to do in this unprecedented time. So let's start with technology. Your organization is an independent online school. What types of technology, you know, we hear about Zoom, but I'm imagining there's specifically developed classroom materials and technology that you're using.
Yeah, so every school is approaching this differently. And so each school will be using a different platform to deliver their education. So that may take place on Zoom with teachers doing lessons that kids are attending with the rest of their class. A lot of teachers are using Google Classroom to give assignments to students. There's also a ton of platforms that teachers might be using or that parents might be interested in using to supplement, like Khan Academy, which is great for math practice.
Yeah.
My school uses curriculum that is all online. They have different titles. So there's really a variety of things that every school is doing. Some schools are still giving out packets to kids each week. And so it really depends on your school. And figuring out that technology can be a huge struggle at first. But after a while, just like with a website we learn to use, it gets easier over time.
Yeah. And one of the areas, I guess, would be, and maybe not necessarily with your group of students, but the ability to access Google Classrooms. I mean, a lot of people do have tablets and computers, but some people may not have Google, you know, tablets and computers. And I think that's probably an area of concern for some school districts, maybe not yours.
I think it definitely is. And again, the challenge is that every school is different. I know a lot of schools that were really proactive in getting every student a Chromebook or a piece of technology that they could use to access their curriculum. It really varies so, so much. And so the longer this continues, the more important it is that students have not only the physical wear like computers, but also access to the internet and reliable internet, because video calls take a lot of data. And so some districts are providing hotspots to students without strong internet who don't have internet at all.
Yeah. And that's probably something that folks that haven't really, you know, who are new to this online learning probably don't know that you've got to make sure you have the bandwidth. Abigail, approximately how many students are in each one of your classes? Just out of curiosity.
So I have, in my school, we call it a caseload. So I have a caseload of 30 students. But I also, if I'm holding a workshop, a virtual workshop, say for math, I may have students that are on other teachers' primary caseload. And so I could be interacting with everyone from my school. So similar to a general education teacher, at least in California, we can have up to 35 students in our classroom. And in this new world, that often means reaching out to 35 families almost every day to make sure that they understand what's going on and what they should be doing. And there can be up to 30 students on these Zoom class calls as well.
Now you're teaching middle school students tend to be from, I think, ages 12 up to maybe age 14 or 15. Is that, I don't know. It's been a while since, obviously it's been a while since I've been in school, but what's it like getting the kids, because you're where you are doing the classes, they're in their homes, they're probably opportunities for distraction, I would think. You know, I have a hard time sitting still. I've always had a hard time sitting still. How do you, and we're going to talk about best practices in our second segment, but is it challenging to kind of get these children to pay attention? And then that's where the parent comes in, right? Make sure that the kid is doing what he or she has to do.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge. And I like what you said is that we struggle with that as adults. And so of course, kids are struggling with staying focused, overcoming challenges, because there are going to be challenges that come up with technology or with learning something new, like an online curriculum. And it's also a whole new schedule and a whole new routine than they were used to. And a huge part of primary education and middle school education is about establishing a routine so that learning can happen. And so all those things are a huge challenge for students at home to be able to self-regulate and stay focused and accomplish things and hopefully learn. And that's really the goal, I think, that a lot of teachers are really hopeful for and are hoping that doesn't get lost in these 2 months before the end of the school year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Abigail, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to learn some of Abigail's best practices, tools, and tips that she uses in her classrooms, virtually, of course. So stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
The windows on our homes, they protect us and the ones we love, but they do much more. At Renewal by Andersen, making your home more comfortable is at the center of every window we make. It's why we custom build our windows in America and install them in as little as one day. It's why we build our frames with exclusive Fibrex composite material that's 2 times stronger than vinyl. It's why our glass helps keep your home warmer in winter, cooler in summer, and quieter all year long. It's why we stand behind every window with a 20-year limited warranty. Why not help lower your energy costs while giving your home and family the best? Call 1-800-835-6525 to schedule a free in-home consultation. Buy one, get one at 40% off with this special offer. Plus, get special financing with no money down, no monthly payments, and no interest for one full year. Renewal by Andersen, the better way to a better window.
Call 1-800-835-6525 now.
Welcome back. We're talking to Abigail Titus. She's a middle school teacher with Pivot Charter School based in San Francisco. Abigail, thanks so much for sticking around with us this morning.
Of course.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And of course, hear your perspective. And as we went to break, I mean, obviously, parents struggling to adapt to their new normal and to their new routines or to create a routine, it's got to be difficult to ensure to protect their children and to ensure that they're in a routine as well.
Yeah, and this is one of the big focuses for teachers, especially in the beginning of the school year. So that's something parents are going through right now. Often in September, teachers focus for weeks just on establishing a schedule and a routine. It's kind of the framework for learning to happen. And so the same thing has to take place at home to the best of our ability for students. So having a schedule and trying to keep some consistency can be really, really effective for making students more comfortable and for them being able to focus more throughout the day.
Yeah, and it sounds like, I want to get to your tips, and it sounds like that would be, and I want to put words in your mouth, but that'd be a really important tip, have that schedule. And I got to think, not only is it regimented in terms of waking up and brushing the old teeth, and well, I was going to say shaving, but they probably don't have to shave. But
not yet, but
it's probably also eating breakfast, lunch, having snacks, the same thing they would do if they were in real school. I mean, in a physical school.
Yeah, definitely. I think that a great thing parents can do is create the schedule that's visual. And so students can see it. Students struggle to have concepts of time. And just like we would struggle if we were set down to do a task and we didn't know when it was going to end, it kind of creates a restlessness in us. So having a visual schedule of when the next break is going to be, how long to focus on a certain task is extremely helpful. And then like you're saying, having those built-in breaks for mealtime, and a lot of the breaks we take at school are because it promotes learning during the focus time. So having a break that's for drawing, having a break that's for going outside and moving the body, frequent breaks are a good thing and they can actually increase productivity. So having those built into the schedule can make it more realistic and can make the actual focus learning time a lot more effective.
And we were talking, we were joking a little bit around in the first segment, or at least I was, you weren't, but I was, in terms of not being able to sit still. How do you deal, if you're a teacher and you're new to this online environment, how do you deal with children who can be disruptive, not because they need to be, but because, you know, they get a little antsy, they want to get up, maybe they have to go to the restroom, maybe they have a bandwidth issue that drops them off, they have to reconnect. How do you facilitate that? Because you're watching perhaps 30 different boxes on your screen or however it's displayed.
Yeah, I think first is just recognizing that that is something the student needs to do. It's not something we can necessarily eliminate from the students, what the student needs to do. So taking more breaks is one of the best things that you can do, because it's kind of getting ahead of the problem. So if you're waiting until a student is almost jumping out of their seat, it's been too long since the last break. So especially the younger you go, the more this is true. Having frequent breaks means that when you can come back, you're really focused. The other thing I think that could help with this is having a space that's dedicated to schoolwork. So if students are working in their rooms or if they're working somewhere that's really loud, all these issues are going to increase. And we do this in the classroom all the time. We put a student that was particularly distractible in a certain place, like close to us, where we could be able to help them better. So I think if you're able to, if you have the ability to create a workspace where schoolwork is what's getting done there, and then play and all the other things happen in a different part of the room, that could also help with that kind of restlessness and need to move around.
Yeah, that's certainly a good idea. What about, when I went to school, you know, the buddy system, you know, you would always have a buddy. Is partnering and pairing up essential or important when you're working virtually, and you're working online, to have somebody that you can buddy with and partner with on lesson plans and things like that? Meaning the student.
Definitely. I think that students, as we all, like, we all love working on group assignments. So students love working with each other. And by having someone else in their class on a video call or even on a shared Google document for the older students, it can be a lot more engaging to do it that way. And it kind of leads to this level of accountability. The other thing I would say is, if there's parents who are also working from home or can in any way do what we call modeling, it's really effective along the same lines, because you're showing the student how it looks. So if you also have work to do, maybe you're both sitting at your desks or both sitting on the couch and you have that schedule and you're both doing your work during the same time, students really like to see the people in their lives modeling that behavior. And teachers do that all the time by showing students how it should look. And so that's something I think that could be happening in the homes as well.
Yeah, I mean, these are your formative years, and we look up to our parents and big brothers and big sisters to see, and our teachers to see how we're supposed to be doing things. So it's almost like a lead by example. Abigail, in terms of, you know, one of the things that's come up recently with Zoom technology is maybe some security concerns. Does that ever kind of wade into your mind or administrators' minds in terms of ensuring that it's a pure classroom, that you don't have people Zoom bombing? I guess that's a new term that I just learned, that are Zoom bombing the class or coming in. Is that a concern that you and others may have?
I think it definitely is a concern, but I just think about how essentially we've been in this new world for about 1 month. So the learning of teachers and students and families is at an exponential rate as we're using all these new technologies. So there's going to be problems along the way, and there's going to be things that we learn that we don't even know right now that we might learn in the coming months. And so, like with everything in this crisis, I think adaptability is huge. And so as schools and administrators learn about these problems, we're gonna have to be flexible, and that's the case for families too. And if things become a clear security concern, that might mean we have to switch to another platform or try something different. It will look different for every school and for every family that's making that call. But I would just say for families and students to realize that this will be kind of a shifting thing, and we're all kind of learning it together.
Yeah, that's good. We're kind of all in it together, and no one has a leg up on anyone. Last question, Abigail, in terms of the future, I mean, your school has been implementing and using technology, but do you, you know, I just want to, maybe you open up your crystal ball a little bit, or your eight ball, depending on what you use to forecast the future. But in terms of the future, when it comes to schooling, is this something that we have these learned lessons and it gets applied to curriculum, and maybe we spend time online and out of the classroom in addition to in the classroom? So it's a mix. And maybe the snow day, which we're very famous for here on the East Coast and parts of the other parts of the country, does that go away? And hey, you know, you have a snow day, you have an event, you still have school.
Yeah, I'm on the optimistic side of this point of view, in that educational technology is emerging right now. It's still pretty new, and there's so many fantastic tools out there. I do not think it's a replacement for human interaction, for social interaction, or for everything that students need to learn in a classroom. But I think it's this incredible tool we have, and everyone in the country is getting a crash course in online education right now for people who may have never encountered it before. So I think that hopefully we'll be able to take the positives from this situation and apply it in the future. And like you're saying, if we're able to use it on snow days or whenever things come up in our society, that just means that students don't miss another day of their education and of progress. And for some students, this way of learning works better for them. And so they may discover that through this process and feel better about education and feel more empowered in their education, for some students who this is the better fit for them. So I see it as kind of exciting in some aspects, even though it's a huge challenge. But I think we're going to see really cool things come out of it in the future for education.
Well put. Couldn't agree with you more. Abigail, a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much for making time for us and sharing some best practices, hearing your thoughts. Stay safe, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you so much.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest or someone that you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the news in retirement, markets, technology, personal finance, and so much more, check out today's edition of The Morning Pulse. So until tomorrow, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.
Attention. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has officially authorized new benefits that Medicare Advantage plans may include. To get the benefits you deserve, you can call the Medicare Coverage Helpline.
Hi, I'm Joe Namath. If you're on Medicare, this is important information. I called the Medicare Coverage Helpline, and they instantly looked up my coverage. In this one simple call, they offered to enroll me in a plan that includes rides to medical appointments, private home aides, doctors and nurses' visits by telephone, and even home-delivered meals. The plan also includes dental, vision, hearing, and prescription drug coverage, all at no additional cost.
Don't delay. Call to see if the new benefits are available in your area.
Call the number on your screen now. It's free.
Call 1-800-757-1451. That's 1-800-757-1451.